You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
How are you, sir?
Me?
You good? Yeah, you. Who else are you talking to? There's no Michael to talk to.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Am I great? No. I'm okay today. But guess what?
I'm sorry.
I looked forward to talking to you. Because I said, you know what, instead of being in an average mood, I'm going to lean fully into the joy that is spending 4 hours with Don LaGreca. Oh. And so I'm excited to be here.
I do look forward to these 4 hours, I do. And I love the family, and I love everything about what's going on at home. But it's good to just, you know, connect with you guys. I miss you guys terribly. We have not, you know, been in the same room together for going on 4 months. It's getting a little monotonous, I got to be honest with you. But you know what? We should be lucky and thankful that we're healthy, that we're working, and we could talk sports with you. And we're getting a little closer and closer to having sports. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We've got lots to get into, but there's still a reverberation over the contract to Patrick Mahomes.
Reverberation.
10 years, over $500 million. I mean, the numbers are ridiculous. It's the highest anybody's ever been paid, and I'm sure there's some NBA envy because there's some players that are probably thinking, boy, I'd love a piece of that. Baseball players as well that would probably want that kind of a deal, kind of a contract. Now, of course, nothing is guaranteed except the $140 million, but
that is
generational money. That's a lot of money to have guaranteed, and it's the right deal because he's a great player, and he's 24 years old, 25 years old, and he may still be in a position to cash in another contract. There's not too many players, Peter, in the history of sports that have signed 10-year deals in which at the end of it, they could still be somewhat in their prime. And unless he gets hurt, I don't see any reason why he can't be a very good quarterback in this league at the age of 33, 34 years old. So this isn't some, oh, we gave him a 10-year contract knowing that the final 3-4 years are going to be garbage, or knowing that we can always get out of it because of the way the NFL salary cap is. You know, they've got a good one, and they want to lock him down, and he's going to play a long time and make a lot of money. And the question is, and I saw this on Get Up this morning from Mike Greenberg, is there anyone else at his age that you would even think about giving that kind of money to? And I don't think there is anybody right now. I think Watson and Jackson are guys you got to wait and see. In basketball, I guess Giannis, right?
I thought you mentioned that earlier. I thought Giannis was a very interesting, yeah, and potentially a good one.
From an age standpoint, you know, he's 24 years old, so can he still excel at the age of 33, 34 years old? He hasn't won the big one yet, but it looks like he's coming close, and this could be the year for him, if not in short order for him. He's put the Bucks on the map, right? So he would probably be in the conversation. Connor McDavid did get a big contract from the Edmonton Oilers. He would fall into that category. Not a lot of people have seen him because it's hockey and it's Edmonton hockey, but I think he's every bit, if not a better hockey player than Patrick Mahomes is a football player.
What's he, 25 now?
He is. His number's 97 because that's when he was born. So he's 23.
23.
So, yeah. And he, again, hockey, see, the thing about Mahomes is, and I text this to Alan Hahn, because when they were talking about this to open their show, is that Connor McDavid, I believe, is a better hockey player than Patrick Mahomes is a football player, but Mahomes impacts his game more than McDavid impacts his game because of the fact that it's a quarterback.
Of course.
And so McDavid's been great. McDavid, you know, leading the league in scoring. He has made players around him unbelievable. Leon Draisaitl is a 100-point player because of Connor McDavid. but you play 20, 23 minutes a game and your team's not very good, he can't put them on the shoulders the way Giannis could in Milwaukee, the way Mahomes could in Kansas City. But really, this is a pretty rarefied air. I mean, you know, Mike Trout is somebody that got a big contract from the Angels. If he were putting up those numbers at the age of 24 years old, he would probably fall in that category. But Peter, I don't know if you can even get to another hand counting the guys that would deserve a contract like this.
You mean that would now and haven't had the opportunity yet?
Yeah, I mean now. Yeah, but we were talking off the air.
I think it's fun to look back and say
if you were to go back.
Have.
Now you've got the luxury of seeing how the next 10 years panned out.
But for example, and I don't remember, you'd remember better what his biggest deal was, but for how young he was great, in spite of the injuries, Sid Crosby would have been worth a 10-year deal.
Yes. Yeah,
and would have absolutely played out.
And those are the deals that were getting thrown out there when you saw Ovechkin with his 13-year contract, when the Devils tried to give Kovalchuk a 17-year contract, eventually giving a 15-year contract. And those really didn't work out. I mean, Kovalchuk went back to Russia. I mean, Ovechkin worked out for sure because he's an amazing talent and continues to be able to perform into his 30s.
And did the impossible and got an actual cup in Washington. So, I mean, that's you everything know, you hope when you sign that deal. It's interesting for Mahomes, who has already achieved it. You know, I mean, it's an interesting expectation for a team that's dream, of course, was to win the Super Bowl, and they seem to have this playoff jinx and this home field jinx, and now he's already done it. I wonder what the expectation is for this deal to be worthwhile, Don. I don't even know what you sort of hope to get. You could argue he's never going to get to the mountaintop he's already been to with them. And it could still be a worthwhile deal. But he may never have what he had in 2019-2020.
Well, I mean, I would think the expectations are that he is going to be, for pretty much the length of that contract, one of the best quarterbacks in football. And how often have we sat and said, that guy is one of the best quarterbacks in football and wasn't competing for a championship? Like, let's honestly assess that, because we're going to get to Daniels and Darnold off of this. Is that just thinking about it, Peter, we didn't discuss this beforehand, and we can open it up to the callers as well at 1-800-919-3776. Honestly, when was the last time we saw and said, that is one of the best quarterbacks in football, and he was not legitimately competing for a championship? In your lifetime. Can you think of one? That would be that kind of Archie Manning, boy, if he was a Steeler, if he was a Raider, he would have won championships. But in New Orleans and Houston, where he was stuck, and then the last year of his career in Minnesota, didn't have great teams and never won. Is that a thing anymore in the NFL? Where a guy's great and you say, boy, this is the best quarterback. This is one of the best quarterbacks in football, and they're finishing 7-9 every year.
No, that's a really interesting point, Don. In fact, you can think of sort of the next tier guys have at least gotten close. You know, Matt Ryan got to a Super Bowl. All those names of the recent era. I mean, Carson Wentz has already sort of been to a Super Bowl.
I mean, it's still early.
Watson's already threatening. Jackson as well.
These are teams that are, I think, in the conversation that they could take the next step and compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So that's how special the position is, where Kansas City gives him a 10-year contract with the confidence that he is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in football, and with that meaning they're going to be in position to win a championship every year of that contract, barring catastrophic injury. Because, again, let's go through it all. Like, Breeze, they've been in the playoffs. They've won a Super Bowl. They were recently in a championship game. Right, as you said, Matt Ryan had that one really good year and was rewarded going to the Super Bowl, had a huge lead going into the second half of the Super Bowl, but went and played in a Super Bowl, and they've been to the playoffs a few times outside of that run. Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl, but consistently in the playoffs, really good team. Who am I missing?
No, I think you're right.
So I think that's the way it is. Now, you go back in the history of football, and you can look at guys, like I said, that were were on stuck on bad teams, and you wonder, could they have been better? You know, if Kenny O'Brien was a Steeler or a Raider or a Dolphin, would he have been better than what he did with the Jets? And, you know, there was always those conversations when I was growing up. What if Phil Simms was a Jet and Kenny O'Brien was a Giant? Would the Giants have, you know, won those Super Bowls and had those years? And would we be talking about Phil Simms as a slightly better than average quarterback? But I think now the way the game is designed via the pass, and you build everything around your franchise quarterback, there's really not those, oh man, guy, he's just like Ernie Banks or Ted Williams, or, you know, what a great player, but he's just stuck on a bad team. What a shame. What a shame he was stuck on a bad team. No, you're expected to make that team good.
Now, to go back to the NBA part of it and just having the general conversation about players you give contracts to. Andrew Gundling, this is what he does, sent me a few names that I'm not smart enough to think of on the spot.
Okay.
That are all really quality.
No, this is right now, not going
players
back in
who
time.
Right now you could consider for a massive, massive deal like that.
Okay.
Luka Doncic, 21 years old.
Yeah.
And as of the last year and a half, this is a guy who does appear to be an absolute top flight, highest level player. Now I believe, and I don't know how Andrew would feel about this. I believe this is slightly premature, but if he continues to show, Jason Tatum, 21 years old. Now he really only came into his own in showing that he could be like the guy.
I need more.
But we need more from Tatum, but he could be that guy.
It's not fair.
I know. Trae Young, 21 years old. And then Devin Booker, Ben Simmons, and Donovan Mitchell. All 23, Ben Simmons turning 24. I don't think Ben Simmons is a 10-year contract kind of player. I'm sorry.
But would we be having this conversation? If player X got a 10-year deal last year, would Patrick Mahomes be in our conversation of players that deserve it pre-Super Bowl? Now, he had a monster, monster year before that.
Yeah, I think he would have been.
Let's see. Because you want to see.
If they had lost in the second round of the playoffs, Don, I still don't think any of us would have batted an eye at a gigantic
deal. Well,
it
depends.
He was that. He's been that good, though.
Look at how do you feel about Garoppolo now as opposed to how you felt about him the first half of that Super Bowl?
Right? Different.
Right. So,
but he's also never dazzled us.
Right. He's never dazzled, but if he had won and Kansas City came up short, because let's face it, Mahomes really had a great second half, but if he carried over the first half of the second half and it was a pedestrian Super Bowl and San Francisco wins, we're wondering now, he falls in that category of kind of like a Watson and a Jackson, like let's see if he can lead them to the promised land, because that's what it's about in the NFL, Peter, right? I mean, Kansas City's not giving him a 10-year deal to fill seats.
I'm
not giving him a 10-year deal to sell jerseys.
Well, but
they're
it's partial
because they want to win a bunch of championships.
I agree, but I do think in the case of Mahomes, it is both. I really do think his stardom is part of that. Now, it becomes a no-brainer when he wins the Super Bowl. Now that you have that on the mantle, you're a Super Bowl champion, everything's different. So I'm right with you in that regard. But, Don, he's not in a category with any of the aforementioned players. Patrick Mahomes was the best quarterback.
Right. But if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, we're saying, what a singular talent, but can he win the big one? Can Andy Reid win the big one? You know, like that's all like – now then think about Andy Reid. Andy Reid's probably thinking, hey, I might be the coach of this team the length of this contract. Where am I going? Why am I going anywhere? If this team's going to be winning a bunch of championships, Andy Reid's got to be happy as anything. Talk about eating hamburgers. He's, you know, when he celebrated that Super Bowl, this is better than that.
Oh, he's having burgers galore, confirmed.
Because where would he, other than him wanting to retire, God forbid getting sick, where's he going if this team's competing for Super Bowl? So now this leads to the conversation with Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones. Because, listen, they're not on teams like the Chiefs are, but we just mentioned that when you're a great quarterback, you should be able to elevate the level of the team. And we have a Jet team that had a great second half to the year when Sam Darnold was healthy and he was over the mono and everything else. And we've got Daniel Jones, who was kind of thrown to the fire in week three, ended up having a really good rookie season. We got to start seeing some signs. Now, I'm not saying we've got to see 35-plus touchdown passes and a trip to the playoffs this year, because I don't think the Jets or Giants are in that direction going into 2020. But, Peter, we got to start seeing it.
100%.
And so that's where the pressure lies of the next deal, because this is what we're looking at here. And these were quarterbacks that were drafted high. All right, so you're talking about Darnold 3, Jones 6. So you're going to have to start seeing something here. Now, maybe it's not going to be wins and losses because the team's not great, especially the Jets, not a lot of weapons. You know, the Giants, a brand-new coach and Judge, a lot of things that they need to work on here over the next couple of years to be a good team. But we're going to have to start seeing some signs here to see if these picks actually work, especially Darnold's entering his third year.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way, particularly about Sam. And this all comes with the caveat of how fond we all are of Sam. But the bottom line is, regardless of Mono, regardless of talent, unfortunately, that's around him, in this version of the NFL, stud quarterbacks by year three are playing like stud quarterbacks.
I think, here, tell me if you think this is a fair statement. I think if you're the Jets and the Giants, you want to see Jones and Darnold have the type of seasons where free agents want to come here and play with those quarterbacks. I want to play with Daniel Jones. I want to play with Sam Darnold because I like the way that they play. Word gets around, like the kind of quarterback he is, can really be a good leader, spreads the ball around, makes players around him better. For free agents go, I want to play with that guy. And that's the kind of season, that's what you have to feel at the end of the year, that they had that kind of season, regardless of wins and losses, because I know that's part of it, but where a wide receiver says, that's the quarterback I want to play with. And I think, and that's what you need to see. And I think when healthy, we've seen it from Darnold, and I really like, other than the fumbles, which everybody told us, Peter, is an issue that's correctable, that Daniel Jones has shown signs. Sam Darnold has shown signs. In year two for Jones, in year three for Darnold, which, you know, obviously year two got derailed by the mono, no more excuses. Let's go out there and let's see some signs that maybe they don't have a Pat Mahomes, but they've got themselves a quarterback that was right to be drafted as high as he was drafted and start getting this thing turned around. That's what you need to see.
So, I mean, so far, you know, Sam started 13 games each of the last 2 years. And year one, 17 touchdowns, 15 picks. Year two, 19 touchdowns, 13 picks. You know, Deshaun Watson, last year was his third year, and he gave you 26 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. Last year was year two for Lamar, and, of course, he was obscene, 36 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. So this is a year when you can have totally reasonable expectations that Sam Darnold is playing at a really, really high level. And also, at a certain point, you know, you just have to know what you have. You have to, because so far, Don, this has been building towards whatever Sam's team is going to be. So we need to find out if that is in fact a thing.
And listen, we don't know the kind of coach Gase is. Second year with the Jets, fourth year overall, or fifth year overall, one playoff appearance. And we don't know what Joe Judge is, because he's never been a head coach in his career. And this is his first year as a head coach in the NFL. So we don't know. So can a bad coach hold you back? Sure. But we need to see it. Like, again, that's why I can excuse the wins and losses because there's so much else going on, but you got to be able to see it. Some expert should be able to see it. When we have Steve Young every Monday during the NFL season, you know, when we have Dan Orlovsky on, they've got to be able to tell me, oh, listen, these guys are great. They're being held back right now because their coach isn't great or their offensive line's terrible or they don't have any weapons, but they've got it. It's there. And they're going to start carrying the team. That's what you need to see. By week 17, whenever that might be, because I'm still not convinced that the NFL season's going to start on time, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But whenever that 16th game, that 17th week hits, Peter, we've got to be on the air with Michael saying, the last problem these two teams have is their quarterback.
Yep.
The last problem they have. And that's when you'll know that you have something in the neighborhood of what Patrick Mahomes is, what Jackson is, what Watson is, what Wilson has been, what Rodgers has been. That's what we need to see, and what certainly Brady can maybe still be and definitely was.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
I kind of quickly did the math in my head. I believe this is my 70th top five.
Big day. That's a big day.
Because this is week 17, so we had 80 days. Michael did 9 of the top fives prior to that. So I believe we're up to 70.
Not almost time for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy. I was thinking about that. This is week 17 of our Michael K. stay at home, or Michael K. from home. This would be the end of the NFL's regular season. Think about that. We have been at home for almost the entire length of an NFL regular season.
And I don't know. I go back and forth between whether I think we'll be in a studio together in 2020.
Well, I would say no until at least after Labor Day.
Well, yeah,
but that's still 2020,
and that's the bare. That's 6 weeks away. So yeah,
I miss you terribly.
It's a lot. It's getting to be a lot.
But we're making it work, baby. And these are one of the reasons we do it, because of the top five and the last one standing and all that. So today, Peter, top five musicians turned actors, and we do this on Ringo Starr's 80th birthday, by the way. He dabbled in some acting, but he's not on the list.
Musicians turn actors. Now, let me try to get the Don logic here, Don.
Sure.
It's about the level of artist they are and how successful they are in film?
I think it's a combination where you have to be amazing in one or the other, and then if you can get both, that would put you very high on the list. But I could tell you that everyone on this list definitely is better at one than the other. Nobody's been able to do an equal split.
And how much of an acting career they required?
Everybody on this list, pretty significant acting career.
Okay, so for example, even though in my opinion he has one brilliant, although kitschy, brilliant film, and he's one of the greatest musicians of all time, Prince would not be on this list.
Right. It wasn't really extensive. And plus, he was playing himself in the movie.
But it was you and Nancy's first date.
Second.
Second date.
Yes.
So pretty big. But
pretty iconic.
If you've never seen Purple Rain, I saw it very late in life. I saw it basically when Prince died. It's Purple Rain's amazing.
And the song itself is terrific.
Well, the album itself is flawless.
No, it's one of the best.
It's literally a flawless, 9 songs? Just a flawless little album.
I wonder if I can name them all off the top of my head.
I think you can. But we can say that for another list.
Yeah.
You could do top 5 songs on Purple Rain. Okay. I'm going to toss out Ice Cube.
No. I mean, I thought about him a little bit.
A little bit?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Let me hear me out. Because forget the Disney stuff. He was in an iconic movie in Boys in the Hood.
Iconic?
Iconic. But I still don't have him in the top five. And you can evaluate after I give you my top five. But
okay.
He's had a nice acting career, and that was an iconic movie, but not on the list.
Franklin Delano Sinatra.
He's number 3. Frank Sinatra, of course, we know his music career. But From Here to Eternity, The Manchurian Candidate, Ocean's 11, Robin and the Seven Hoods, he had an extensive career in Hollywood, and not just playing himself. And he did a lot with the Rat Pack, but he also did some stuff on his own. Frank Sinatra, number 3.
Well, we're talking icons. We're talking legends. I would really argue this hard.
Okay.
A gentleman named Tupac Amuru Shakur.
I don't. Again, so brief, though. I'm sure he would have ended up to that point, but I do not have him on the top 5.
He was so good, though, in his brief run.
It was too brief.
But, I mean, you're talking about Juice, which is an iconic movie for a generation, Poetic Justice, a big, successful movie, Gridlocked, and Bullet, which were not great, but and then he's arguably one of the biggest musicians of all time. So I think that's a tough. Okay.
Well, let's evaluate.
We'll see who else ends up here,
because we'll do the classic. Who you taking out?
How about Ice-T?
No, because I'm a big Ice-T guy, and I loved a lot of his work, but I wouldn't say it's iconic or great under any stretch. I do think New Jack City is one of my favorite movies. I wouldn't call it a classic. It is in my household because I love it so much, but not in the top five, no.
I feel like this is going to lean older than I am, the era I appear to be in right now.
You know them all.
I know them all. Are any older than Frank Sinatra?
No.
Mm.
I didn't do Bing Crosby, because the thing with Bing Crosby is he's playing himself pretty much in the movies, and it's, you know what I mean? I don't know if he had acting chops per se. You know, I think the people that we have here have all done legitimate, like, I think it's just easy playing yourself. That's why, like, Eminem would never be on the list, because Eminem was just playing himself.
But, I mean, she's trending right now. What about the great Mandy Moore? Big TV career now.
I mean,
not a big music career necessarily.
Yeah, but it could have been, you know, voice of Tangled, which is in my house quite a bit. Kids love Tangled.
I think Andrew texted me and said he thinks it's a tough draw for Ice-T, especially considering how iconic his TV run has been on Law & Order. But let's see where you go. And again, you're leaving out the really huge musicians who made movies, a la David Bowie, a la Michael Jackson, a la Prince.
Of course.
Beyonce.
Right. Not Beyonce. No.
These are all people who are iconic musicians who have made multiple films.
Yes.
Or been in multiple films, but did not make your list.
No.
Can you get? You got. You might have to guide me somewhere.
Well,
because I'm looking at the whole, like, I feel lost.
Well, think the genre you've been in, and he's probably one of the biggest actors right now in Hollywood.
And he's a hip hop star.
Yes.
A hip hop star. Who's currently one of the biggest actors in Hollywood.
Blockbuster movies. Blockbuster movies last 25 years.
The last 25 years.
He has not been in something that has not been considered, or at least attempting to be, a blockbuster. And he's a former hip. I don't know how much he does now. And he's number one.
And he's number one?
Yeah.
So I'm just having a major brain issue here.
Now, he's not, I don't think, when you think hip-hop, it's hip-hop, but it's more commercial than a lot of the stuff that you listen to.
Oh, okay, well, Will Smith, I got it, of course. Sorry.
Well, you can't even argue with Will Smith, right?
I mean, no.
Many franchises, Bad Boy franchise, Men in Black, Ali, I mean, he just, really, right? He's one of the big actors out there, I easily number one, right? No issue with
that. That was really... He's one that's gotten so far into it that it's like I don't even think rapper first, even though of course he is.
No, I think there's no question you think actor first now.
Yeah,
no question.
And by the way, though, I mean, it should be noted, the first ever rap Grammy went to Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. He has a nice list of great records.
This is more complimenting his acting chops than it is disrespecting anything he did.
I do think he's musically disrespected a lot. He actually just had a verse recently on a Joyner Lucas song that was tremendous. He and his son, Jaden's a great rapper as well. So we have Will Smith at one.
We have Frank Sinatra at three. Right. Now, one of them on the list has also been in a bunch of blockbusters, and another one is someone that I said I've always loved as an actor, and now recently am into him as an artist.
Can you give me some genres that we have left here?
A lot of comedy for this one.
No, music genres.
Oh, I guess more, where would you put this one? You know, kind of boy band.
Oh, Timberlake.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
You love Timberlake. You're a big Timberlake guy.
Well, and I think he's fantastic. I think he's a great comedic actor. You put him on Saturday Night Live, you're laughing. He's been in some really big movies. Voices on Troll. He was in Trouble with the Curve. Friends with Benefits. Bad Teacher. The Social Network. I thought he was great. I've got Justin Timberlake at number two.
I'm now looking at Twitter, I'll be honest. So I'll throw some names out there that I'm getting.
Okay.
But they are really, I think, some fair ones here. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg is number five. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, and now he's been in such movies as Boogie Nights, Three Kings, Perfect Storm, Ted 1 and 2. Pretty good actor. Not so much, I guess, musically. But
musically
still,
horrifying. So this is where I'm going to argue with you, but I'll wait till we finish the list.
Okay.
But that's a spot. How about, well, yeah, no, it goes the other direction. But Jamie Foxx is incredible at both. Really great musician and a wonderful actor. But Tyrese also has had quite an acting career.
Well, this one is a very iconic artist.
An iconic artist.
That has done
acting. Oh, Elvis Presley.
No, because all Elvis did was play himself.
We're going to win the race.
Right,
lemonade.
That cool, refreshing drink. But what she's been in, pretty good. And I got her.
Madonna?
Yes.
All right.
Evita, Dick Tracy, League of Their Own, Girl Six, and, of course, iconic musically. So I got Mark Wahlberg 5, Madonna 4, Frank Sinatra 3, Justin Timberlake 2, Will Smith 1. So I guess for when you say Tupac, which I'm not as familiar with his acting, so I could plead the fifth on that one if you want, or ignorance.
So here's the problem.
Mark Wahlberg out?
Here's the problem. You decided to weight the acting more than the music. If you go in reverse and you weight the music more than the acting, then Ice Cube and Tupac easily jump ahead of Mark Wahlberg. Easily.
Yes. But I think part of the lure is you were a musician. And yeah, listen, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch was not our taste. But it was successful.
They only have two songs anyone knows. And the second one, I'm maybe the only one who remembers it. Also, it's hard to say what came first, music or acting, but of course, Donald Glover, gigantic. J-Lo?
Yeah, J-Lo's a good one, too.
J-Lo
is, you might.
And there are people arguing, and I think it's fair.
Okay.
Ice-T over Timberlake. Now, musically, Timberlake has a bigger career, and he's been in bigger movies, maybe. But the consistency of Ice-T's acting career over the last 20 years, it's hard not to give a nod.
And you can look at LL Cool J as well.
If you can.
Like the fact he's been on television for such a long time, not really breaking into movies much, but on television, he's on one of the CSIs, right? CSI LA, I believe.
Someone also makes the case, how is Jamie Foxx not number one? He has an Oscar and a Grammy.
But how iconic is his music?
He has a few records that are big songs.
He was an actor first, though, right?
Yes.
Kind of really fit the list then.
How about a woman named Barbara Streisand?
Thought about Babs.
How does Barbara only get a thought about? How Barbara Streisand ends up on the thought about floor?
Because I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. And I am a Barbara fan, all right? And she's been, What's Up Doc is one of my favorite movies, okay? And I think Meet the Falkers is hilarious, and she's tremendous in it. But the bulk of her music career, the bulk of her acting career has been in musicals and using her talents as a singer more so than an actress.
But honestly, over the last 20 years, she's had
Hello,
a handful
Dolly,
of...
A Star is Born, all kind of like what I did with Elvis Presley and Bing Crosby. It's like she's iconic. Let's put her in a movie about music. And then but she's been in a few things in which I think she's done a great job. But
Don, you're being called out again, though.
But go ahead. Who?
Queen Latifah.
Thought about Queen Latifah as well.
That's a
what was
big career. She's done big, big movies and was a very successful artist. Now, a lot of people have thrown Mos Def out there. I would love to see that, guys, but he wasn't. His commercial success in either field, I don't think, is enough to get on this list, even though he's a great
actor.
Well,
let's not make it all about social media. Joe and Clark has some issues. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, Don, that list, I had Babs. I like her, but I haven't put Streisand definitely on that list. And I'd have Sinatra number one. I'm sorry, guys. He won an Academy Award for On the Waterfront. He was in so many big movies, Don.
He wasn't in On the Waterfront, From Here to Eternity.
I mean, From Here to Eternity. He won the Academy Award for Here to Eternity. But I'm saying he was in a lot of big movies in the 60s. I mean, the Oceans movies and all the Pal Joey. I mean, it was a lot of big movies. I think he should be number one. I mean, he's probably the greatest, one of the great entertainers of all time.
No, listen, that's fair. Listen, I got him on the list. You're right. I mean, I kind of struggled between. But again, Elvis is playing Elvis. right? I mean, Elvis had his guitar. He's playing. I mean, I don't think he was a great actor.
What about Dolly Parton?
Dolly Parton's good. 9 to 5. Can you think of anything else?
Off
the top of your head?
Steel Magnolias.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I asked and you answered. Hey, there's it's an extensive list. We try to build conversation here. But I thought of Babs, and I'm a fan. But you understand what I'm saying is here's what I hold a lot of stock in. Is are you playing yourself, or are you acting? And I think a lot of Barbra Streisand's career is just using her gift of singing, whether it's throwing her in Hello Dolly or throwing her in, that stuff is putting her musical ability more so than just straight acting. There's a couple of things. Obviously, she was in Yentl. She was in, like I said, What's Up, Doc? She was in Meet the Falkers. But really what she's kind of known for is being someone that is singing in the movie.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show? Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Today, two opponents enter.
I hate Don.
I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael K.
Only one makes it out.
Let's go with Don!
Who will win this daily competition where the standings don't matter?
What?
We find out.
Okay.
In the latest edition of Last One Standing.
Welcome to Last One Standing, a very special week where Don LaGreca is going head-to-head with different quote-unquote celebrity guests. And yesterday, Don took a tough loss to Gordon Damer. Today is a matchup so strong that if I had my druthers, I might have done it for the whole week. But, I mean, it wasn't even possible because this man blew us off yesterday in our first attempt to get him. So without any further ado, we bring in Dave Rothenberg. Dave, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm excited for this opportunity. I got to be honest. I was driving earlier this afternoon, not long ago, and Don got me very nervous because he almost mailed it in when he said something to the effect of I have no chance to beat Rothenberg. So now it's just solely pressure on me.
Well, listen, I am not mailing it in ever. I never mail anything in.
I think you have a great chance to win, Don.
Being realistic. But I do think, and I was going to ask, and then we'll see how you feel about it. We've been giving each of our celebrities an Ask RJ. So I don't get an Ask RJ? I don't get a refresher every day since I've got new competition, Peter?
Why don't we both get an Ask RJ would be appropriate, I think, no?
That's fine. You know what? It's a fun week. We're not taking it too serious. I'll give you both an Ask RJ, okay?
Okay.
And I believe I go first.
Yesterday we gave the advantage to Gordon and allowed him to go first, but I've been on the phone with Vegas all morning. Dave Rothenberg's currently a favorite, Don, so I'm going to have Dave actually go first here.
Okay, that makes sense, because then he could steal something and then it's over. So
right, and he's very good. So
outstanding.
This is a very special edition. Let's hope the expectations are met. Let's see. Let's hope Don delivers a surprising performance. Right. And it is time for a Dave Rothenberg version of Last One Standing. Dave, how are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
We're going to start off nice and easy. You know how the game works. We work our way up, and we'll keep it nice and easy to start. Former NFL coach and current college coach made famous the quote, "Attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind." Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't even think I know this. Is it Jim Harbaugh?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, final answer.
That's a good poll.
It's a good poll, considering he acted like he didn't know it at all.
Yeah, that's what we do. You'd build momentum towards uncertainty.
Yeah, you get me thinking I might be able to win this like right away. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking of the 2000 championship game, Giants-Vikings, where like it was over before it even started. But no, you
41-0. The great Greg Camello with that second touchdown.
Right. We'll keep it nice and easy with you too, Don.
Yeah.
This legendary play-by-play man was famous for the catchphrase, "Whoa, Nelly."
Whoa, Nelly. That'd be Keith Jackson, finally.
Whoa, Keith Jackson.
Nice impression there from Dave. Underrated.
Thank you.
Hey, Bear, I need a chill.
He's pound for pound the best talk show host, not only in the station, but in the entire tri-state area.
Oh, thank you.
I'd go beyond the tri-state, honestly.
You know what? Is there radio beyond the tri-state? Let's be honest.
Wow, it's a great take by you. I love it.
It's like one big podcast out there.
Let's push
we up the ante here a little bit, yes?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we push it up a little.
Okay.
It's always hard, though, to decide what is really hard for you guys.
Dave, it's just, he's so ill-prepared.
So you don't have the questions assigned to each particular participant until
I do,
we get
but
here?
Not, there's no Dave Rothenberg category. There's Michael
we're
and
We're
Don.
In week 17 of this, Dave, so the questions are starting to, you know. Andrew puts a lot of work in, but there's only so many questions.
For the record, Andrew does, these are all original questions. He does not copy from anywhere else.
I got to tell you, I listen often to this segment, and there are many times when I do, when I'm overwhelmed with joy with the question that Andrew's come up with. I just think he comes up with really good questions.
He's sneaky good.
Of course, very good. I love this guy.
This is all right. Let's do this.
Okay.
The Golden State Warriors have appeared in the last five NBA finals. Who was the last Western Conference team to appear before them?
All right. So we got Warriors. I had a time?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple seconds here, but yeah, it's time.
I didn't realize there's a time limit here.
Oh, yeah, there's a time limit. You're pushing that time limit, but you do have your Ask RJ available.
No, I'm not going to use Ask RJ. I just got to think here. So Warriors are five in a row.
Well, I'm only going to give you a few more seconds.
Hang on a second here. All right. Whoa, and then it's LeBron.
Kay would have a conniption right now.
I know.
Heat, Spurs. Okay. Spurs would have beaten the Heat, I believe. 2014, that is, then? Spurs.
Final answer?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
It is correct. 2014, yeah. The San Antonio Spurs. Dave Rothenberg doing what Dave Rothenberg does.
Giving birth.
I mean, really good stuff there. All right, Donald. Only one player in NFL history has had more than 30 touchdowns in a season, rushing and receiving total, okay? Only one player in NFL history has had more than 30 touchdowns in a season, rushing and receiving. Can you tell me that player?
God, I want to say Emmitt Smith. Could it have been? Could be Marshall Faulk is a guy that pops into my head, too.
It's a lot of guessing going on. You do have an Ask RJ in your stash.
What do you think, RJ?
Are you asking RJ?
I'm asking RJ.
Okay. Time to ask RJ.
So the two names that come to mind for me are Sean Alexander and LaDainian Tomlinson. I remember Tomlinson being celebrated for, I believe, breaking the record of Alexander, who I think had the single season record. I would go with LaDainian Tomlinson. I'm not positive.
Right, because Tomlinson would have done it after Alexander.
Right.
So, all right. That wasn't what I was thinking. So, yeah, I will say LaDainian Tomlinson, final answer.
And yet again, RJ just proves his value. I mean, it's LaDainian Tomlinson, 31 in 2006. Dave, did you know that right away, Dave?
It took me a minute to figure it out. I'm glad that RJ's involved because I think he and I pushed for that at the beginning of the segment. I think we've now taken this to another level, so I'm pleased.
He's very, very good. All right, but we're going to keep pushing here.
Question three.
Yeah, this one's hard.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie.
It's hard. This is just a factually difficult question.
I believe so. I think you really have to know sports and have a solid foundation of the era we're talking about here.
Okay.
And I say that as a fan of the team that I'm asking you about. The Celtics won three titles in the 80s. Larry Legend was finals MVP for two of them. Who was the other finals MVP? You would agree, this is a pretty hard question, right?
Yeah, this is a good question.
Good job, Andrew.
What'd you say?
I said, good job, Andrew. It's a nice question.
All right. So, and you said in the 80s, right?
That's right.
All right. So I'm thinking it's Bird. You said Bird twice. So I think it's Cornbread Maxwell in 81, I believe. Ugh. I feel good about that. Yeah. I'm going to go Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, 1981.
What I enjoy about... You got to say final answer.
The final answer.
What I enjoy about Dave is it's not just that he gets it right. It's that he uses the nickname as well. I mean, that's what he really does to drive home his history.
Nickname,
but still, it's a big nickname from a player who's... That was his most glorious moment in 1981 against Houston. Pretty deep stuff from Dave Roth.
Dave has a very underrated show off in him a little bit.
Is it underrated?
I don't think it's underrated. I wasn't trying to show off. Should I not have said cornbread?
No, listen, we're in the entertainment business, buddy. You know, you do what you do. That's what you do.
That's a good pull, and it's the correct answer.
Thank you. So Don misses this, and it now ends?
Is that
how this works here?
That's exactly how it would work.
Gotcha. And he cannot go to RJ.
No.
Oh, okay.
And this is...
It's over now.
No. Here we go.
Okay.
I just don't know how hard it is. It's one of the ones that, for me, it's not memorable, but I don't know. When the Yankees won the 1996 World Series...
Sure.
What player caught the final out?
Oh, that would be Charlie Hayes, final answer.
So apparently that was very easy. Exactly.
Yes.
I wasn't exactly waiting with bated breath for that catch, so it just doesn't mean the same thing to me. Dave, was that very easy for you?
I got to be honest. My third round question was way more difficult than that.
But at least Peter was feigning like ignorance there. Like he just didn't know.
That's right.
He thought it was. I don't think he was giving me a layup. He thought he was giving me one that was equal. But Dave is right. That's a first level question.
But we move on. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, listen, three quarterbacks in NFL history, and I don't think this is the hardest question you've got. I think the last question was harder than this. But we're gonna do what we're gonna do. Three quarterbacks in NFL history have thrown 50 touchdown passes or more in a single season. Please name them.
You want all three of them?
That's correct.
All right. A wealthy man by the name of Patrick Mahomes, I believe.
Correct.
A handsome man by the name of Tom Brady. And Eli's brother.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That's correct.
You mean Peyton, not Cooper.
Right. I guess it could have been misconstrued, but I figured that was assumed.
I'm gonna give you that one. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Now, do you want to carry this over, or do you want to do an all-in who am I? Because it's 5.
It is 5 o'clock.
Well, I think we should finish the round, no?
Well, sometimes we tease it and we come back. But you know what?
Okay. Well, it's your game. You do what you like.
No. We're well, Don, Dave went first. So we can't go to a who am I. You have to get a question right before it would go
all
to
right.
that.
Yeah, okay.
Craig T. Nelson
sure.
was the head coach of what fictional school in the show Coach?
Oh, my God. It was Minnesota. So it's fictional, so I'll say Minnesota State. Final answer.
That is correct, and over time it will be. Wow.
Well done.
Now, Dave, right? You understand how Who Am I works? You get three guesses.
I'm not familiar with. So, what do you mean? I get three guesses.
I mean, he's going to give clues, and the first one to get the right answer wins. But
so I'll describe a person in the first person
for each in this the whole time.
Correct.
Right.
Gotcha.
And you just pick your spots of where you want to guess, knowing you have three.
And now if I exterminate my three guesses, I'm now eliminated.
That's correct.
Oh, dear.
It's never
okay.
happened. It's never been done. So.
You guys ready?
So yes. I can no longer use RJ. That entire advantage that I had is now
is
gone.
All about, this is why I'm awful at this. It's all about like the quick twitch.
Oh, you're not good at this.
This is his worst area.
Oh, okay.
Right, yesterday, good. He actually knew the answer, flubbed it, and gave it to Gordon.
So yesterday went to this very same round,
yes,
and
yes.
you lost it.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard. I knew it was Kawhi Leonard, but for some reason I got tongue-tied. And
play that one more time, RJ, the sound he made.
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard. It turned out I didn't have to rush. Go ahead, Peter.
Here we go, guys.
All right.
For all the marbles, who am I? I was a 7-time MLB All-Star. From 2005 to 2008, I averaged 112 RBIs per year.
Manny Ramirez?
I played 14 seasons in the major leagues, all with the same team. I made it to one World Series in my career.
David Wright.
I was just going to say that.
And David Rothenberg wins it right. with David Wright.
Just got it out before I did. When he said one World Series. I don't have the quick twitch. Good, Dave. Good job. I'm proud. I
got to be honest. I had a tremendous amount of fun. I thought Don did great. I thought I did well, and I hope you'd have me back for this.
If I had my choice, I'd end the week with Dave on Friday. That would be my choice, if I had a choice.
Well, we got it. Alan Hahn was promised, and we've got Brian O'Halloran tomorrow. So
was Alan promised Friday or just another day this week?
No, we can do Dave Friday if you want.
I think Dave, if you're available, I think we bring you back. That's how
I'd
good
love
I
to.
Think it is.
I'd love to.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Yeah.
Catch the show on demand whenever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast.
Having some fun. Michael's on vacation. And then I'm going to go on vacation next week. Peter, when are you going away? You need a break, don't you?
I took 2 days last week, which was fantastic.
Oh, then that's more than enough, really.
But I believe I'm taking off my entire birthday week, which would be in 2 weeks.
Listen, so, 40 is one thing, but 41 is another.
Ugh, don't get me started. My 40th birthday was trash, and now my 41st is going to be trash, too. birthdays are overrated, let's be honest. Don, who am I on with next week? Do we know?
Michael.
Oh, Michael's back next week, and you're gone.
That's right.
That's tremendous.
So the show, you know, keeps beating.
So you know what we'll get to do? We'll really get to find out what's better. A Don Peter vehicle or a Michael Peter vehicle?
Well, people will judge that.
Head
sure
to
management
head.
Will judge it.
Which I'm sure Michael will judge it.
Jordan in Woodmere, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
I'm just curious, you know, with everything going on with, you know, with the world and, you know, with the racial injustice that's going on in the world, for Deshaun Jackson to come out with Instagram 2 days ago, being a Jew myself, you know, I just want to get your guys' opinion on, you know, how you think the NFL will take a stand on it, how they'll react, how you guys felt when seeing the tweet or the Instagram post. Just want to get your guys' feedback on what you thought.
Well, a lot of people have been. A lot of different people have been tweeting me throughout the day, I like demanding that I take some sort of really strong stance against Deshaun Jackson because of his moronic, ignorant, anti-Semitic, hateful Instagram post earlier. And to me, we have seen players do individually bad things a lot over the years, unfortunately. I mean, it's happened in Philadelphia previously with Riley Cooper, right? And Riley Cooper did not lose his career because he used the N-word at that concert. And while I'm disgusted by Deshaun's... That he believed what he wrote, which was insane. I mean, just like to show your absolute lack of knowledge to think that what you were reading was an idea of Hitler, number one. Then number two, to think, oh, it's not a bad idea to quote Hitler. And then to say, oh, no, no, I don't hate Jews. Let me be clear. If you want to come off like you don't hate Jews, here's an idea. Don't quote Hitler. So I really recommend that. Matter of fact, if you just don't want to come off as a bad person, don't quote Hitler. So, Don, it was obviously terrible and embarrassing, but I don't think DeSean Jackson should lose his career or anything. I think the NFL should condemn it. The Eagles should condemn it. They should require him to do some sort of education on it, as I think they would in most situations like this. Right. And now, listen, it's a weird circumstance, you know, because for a white player to say something racist about black players, about black people in a league that is dominated by black people is different than a player in a league to say something about Jews, a group who is not particularly prominent in locker rooms. Maybe there's, there obviously are some at the ownership level, but it does not exist in coaching staffs.
Yeah,
it's a different sort of, it's a more nuancy thing. And I think you have to decide, we have to do the right thing here. And you don't necessarily have the same kind of pressure where Riley Cooper had to go back into a locker room and face black players. DeSean Jackson doesn't have to do that. So
I understand that.
Handle it in a way that's just as aggressive, in spite of the fact that he's not going to face the repercussions in the same way in those locker rooms.
Understood, but repercussions from the league that has a lot of, you know, Jewish fans
who absolutely
probably are going to want, you know, demand something to be done. Because I'm not going to sit here and start to list like offenses based on, well, if you offend this group, it's worse than if you offend this group. You offend any group, it should be treated equally. Peter brings up the nuance of the fact he doesn't have to deal with it necessarily in his room when he goes back into the locker room in training camp.
But that's all the more reason, Don, why the league has to do something.
But the fact is I don't care. You know, it doesn't take just a Jewish person to be offended anything to deal with Hitler. You know. So, it just sounds like DeSean Jackson is just ignorant on the subject. But ignorance is not a defense.
Nope.
So you got to do a better job. But you know, it shouldn't be brushed aside because, well, he doesn't have to deal with anybody in the room because there's no Eagles that are Jewish, and, you know, there's not a lot of NFL players that. No, that shouldn't matter. It's offensive. It's disgusting and should be dealt with. But I do believe in second chances. I do believe that. He may not have meant malice by it because of the ignorance of it, but, you know, it can't be ignored.
But at the same time, I don't believe, you know, if your ignorance is so bad that you don't know what Hitler connotes, I don't feel bad for you at all.
No,
I'm sorry, take the L. So, yeah. And so then he followed it up with like this, no, I don't think that, and then quoted something again.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you quote Hitler, and you are a living human being above the age of like 10, you know what you're trying to connote.
All right, we'll take a yes quickly and then continue, Peter.
Oh, so long, yes. So anyways, we're going to hit this story at a few minutes in ENN, so we'll go through what happened there. But yeah, it's disappointing as a Jew who loves football and who I rooted for DeSean Jackson. But as I said earlier, if you've ever rooted for DeSean Jackson on one of your teams, you already knew he wasn't the sharpest stick in the bunch. Let's just keep it real. I mean, DeSean dropped the football before he got into the end zone, okay? He's had a lot of questionable decisions over the course of his career. So
I know, but
you know,
there's a lot of people that have lost their careers. There's a lot of people that have done time based on just being stupid. Like I said, stupid's not a defense. Educate yourself, or especially in this world, before you hit send. You know, you got to be responsible for the things you say, because if everybody just pleads ignorance, then nobody would ever get punished.
If it had been Martellus Bennett or Chris Long or some player that I knew was really smart, I'd be really more upset. I was annoyed, but like D-Jax for his entire career has just sort of never really gotten it.
Again, we're not asking him to split the atom here, Peter.
It's a great point. We're not, just don't admire Hitler, dude. That's not that hard.
Hitler, right?
Yeah,
not,
no, you're right. You're right. I just saw it and was like, what?
You don't have to get straight.
Well, hold on. Can I sum it up like this, though? Tell me if this makes sense.
Okay.
When I first heard the story this morning, it was me at 6:30 Ebro and Laura talking in my headset, and Ebro being like, oh, do you see this Deshaun thing? Okay? Does this make sense? I was relieved when I found out it was Deshaun Jackson and not Deshaun Watson. Does that make sense?
I guess just from a football fan standpoint, you know, you kind of accepted like you're taking an easier loss, right?
Exactly. I was like, yeah. Oh no, Deshaun Watson, he's one of the right. future faces of the league. No. But again, and then I was like, oh, Deshaun Jackson. All right, well.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.